Welcome, patrons, to your exclusive spoiler cast of the 2019 live-action remake of Aladdin. I am CJ Millen, joined by Brian Thornton.
I love how your syncopation, you're trying really hard to sound like Josh.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Josh cannot be here for this episode. He has been given unlimited cosmic powers, but itty-bitty limited space. So it is Brian and I talking about this movie. Come on, that was good.
Unfortunately, it was good, yes.
That's a good one.
Yes, you're right. I'll give it to you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Buckle up because Ryan and I have not talked about this movie extensively to each other, but we do disagree about how we feel about this movie at the end. So, Brian, may I have your first impressions for the remake of Aladdin?
Meh.
Meh, right?
It was a movie. I legitimately felt so meh. This is the definition of meh. This is, I didn't like it. I also did not like it. It's in that very dangerous in the middle kind of
difference. Like you're feeling
different. It's just, I didn't feel anything for this movie. It is meh.
Wow. That hurts.
I don't know why. Did you make the movie? Why are you hurt by this?
I don't know. I feel involved with it. I liked the movie a lot. Let me tell you.
You are a fool, sir.
I liked this movie. I have problems with it, of course. But I think it is a highly entertaining and passable Aladdin movie. And I don't get what all the kerfuffle's about for people who don't agree with that assumption. I'm
good use of the word kerfuffle.
Yeah, thank you. I gotta pull out the thesaurus since Josh is in here. Listen, let's just start right off the bat with. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I put in Aladdin, but I misspelled it. And
you got
IMDb.
Some like weird shit, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I got some really weird shit. Don't misspell Aladdin in your IMDb. Listen, let's start off with the elephant in the room and the guy who made the elephant. Let's talk about Will Smith. Let's just do it. Let's just jump right into it.
He was probably the best part of this mediocre movie.
Oh, man, that really hurts. That really,
I don't know why it's hurting you.
I don't know why it hurts, but it hurts. He did very well. And I'll be honest, I didn't have high hopes for him. And he did a pretty good job. He opens the movie and he sings the Arabian Nights.
Arabian Nights.
I think we have to pay for that now. He did a pretty good job. They messed around with his blueness, not blueness. His blueness didn't bother me as much. They even mentioned the top knot. Like I thought they did well with Will Smith's Aladdin. And I'm very happy to say. He did not try to be Robin Williams. He just let himself be Will Smith.
He definitely did his own thing. I read a review that was very on point, which said Robin Williams' take on this was guy who's been trapped in a lamp for 1,000 years, gets a little manic and starts talking to himself and doing crazy impressions and stuff.
Right.
Will Smith's take on the genie was he's the ultimate wingman, which is perfect. A perfect description for how he played this. And it worked. It worked really well. Will Smith was great. I didn't even hate the little side story they had between him and the handmaiden. That was fine and funny.
That was a little forced, but it was
the handmaiden was hilarious. She should have been in more of the movie.
And she's in New Girl. She's from the actress.
I know she's in New Girl.
What's her name?
She's Winston's girlfriend in New Girl. I can't remember her real name.
Is it Nassim?
Yes.
Nassim Pradad?
Yes. Yes. Pradad.
Her name is Nassim. She's awesome. I've seen her in other stuff too. She's very funny.
She was very good.
It's great comedic timing. I liked her addition. I thought it played well.
Before you start rolling through everybody in the cast, I want to make sure this is very well known. My issues with this movie have nothing to do with the cast. I think everybody in the cast is delightful and very well casted and very well done. My problem with this movie is everything else.
Yeah, here's the. But I do want to talk about the stuff that did work well.
I just want to make sure before you start rolling through everybody in the cast because I'm going to say I like them.
I want to talk about the music because that's very important to Aladdin, the story of Aladdin.
And
I thought it was done very well, and I like the fact that when they're doing the Prince Ali song at the end, he's like, "Ah, we're gonna hold it, waiting for you, Sultan. waiting for you. And I was like, oh, that, like, this is fun. That is fun. This song is dumb and fantastical, and it should be fun. And they made it fun. My six-year-old left loving this movie. She's like,
of course she did.
So
she's six.
Fun.
She doesn't know better.
But she's watched other movies recently, too, that are kids' movies, where she doesn't go, that was fun. Can I go see it again? It's never happened. It was the first movie that she said, that was fun. I want to go see it again. That was cool.
She wasn't even like that with Frozen. She didn't want to let it go again.
No, she was too young for Frozen, so thank God.
Too young for Frozen, too. You got to catch her up before he's eating Frozen.
No, I'm not. I liked the actor who played Aladdin. I thought he was charming. I thought he was delightful. He made some, and this is where some of the choices kind of came in. He made a few different choices for some of the songs and reprisals and a couple of the new stuff, which were fine. They were just different. I thought the actress who played Jasmine, Naomi Scott, she was good. I remembered her from Power Rangers, and I remembered, oh yeah, I liked you. You could actually act. You did a pretty good job.
Yeah, she was wonderful. She was great.
The weak person in the cast for me was Jafar. Yeah, it was Jafar.
Jafar was bad. I did not care for him.
Listen, the guy was doing his thing. And here's the thing. I'll be honest. I'm watching The Flash right now, and I'm watching other movies and TV shows where when you're the villain, all you do is stunt like this. And this is your voice, and you have no personality. And Jafar didn't do that, and he had a bit of a personality. However,
wow, that's a hard swipe at the Flash and Cicada there, buddy.
God, it was well, but also like we were looking back at like Rorschach and the Spirit, and we're watching other shows where there's other villains who talk real low and like there a lot of villains now after Heath Ledger, honestly. Are now like, I gotta do something weird with the voice and do like almost like a Batman thing. I don't know why, but that's evil. He didn't do that. And I appreciate the fact that he didn't do that. However, he didn't really do anything to be menacing in the moments where he should be.
He wasn't
menacing.
Evil. He was just a dude.
Nah, he was evil. Mm. He had the serpent to mind control people. That makes
him
evil.
He didn't fucking use it.
He did.
No,
he used
it
a few times. He didn't use it as much as they did in the cartoon.
He tried
like
to
every
use
3 seconds.
He tried to use it twice and got interrupted both times. He didn't do anything with it. They didn't play into it. And this is my problem with this movie. It's not even necessarily the actors, although I think the guy that got to play Jafar was no bueno. It's the writing. It's the story. They didn't make him a menacing villain in any way.
I mean, I can understand that. The swing to him being evil at the end was a really hard, like, 0 to 60. Let's just go for it.
It wasn't even, and it's not even just that it was like 0 to 60. Like, in the animated movie, because you can't help but compare this to the animated movie, he is evil from the get-go. You look at this guy and he just oozes evil, and not because of just how he's drawn or anything. It's just, you know, just his actions. They show him very early on hypnotizing the Sultan and, you know, using him to get his way. They didn't do any of that.
Even throwing Aladdin down the, even with, give me the lamp. And you know,
yeah. And betraying Aladdin, like disguising himself. Not like, it just, they didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
And it's not even just him. They skipped entire scenes that built up the character of Jasmine and Aladdin. They skipped so much. It felt like I just got dropped in the middle of this movie and I'm supposed to know everything about these characters. And that's not a good way to make a movie. Yes, I know all about these characters, but, you know, I also watched the animated version.
Let's talk then about where I think the pitfalls for this movie come into play. And that is with John August and Guy Ritchie. And Guy Ritchie gets double blame because he co-wrote and he directed this movie.
And at first, I'll give you blame on Guy Ritchie for co-writing, but he directs this movie. This was not directed by him. This was directed by the machine.
No, I disagree. And I'll
studio directed film. There is nothing here.
Yes, there is
nothing in this movie that screams Guy Ritchie.
Yes, there is.
Absolutely not.
Can I tell you the three moments?
Nope, because I don't believe you.
Two that scream Guy Ritchie. The first one is when he's when Aladdin's walking through the street and he's doing the first song.
It's One Step.
One Step. Thank you. When he's doing One Step and they're doing the parkour work and the camera angles is going upside down and we're getting that Guy Ritchie, like, not GoPro, but like first person perspective, and you don't know if you're upside down.
There was no
down.
First person perspective. You need to watch this movie again.
No. It was.
There was no first person perspective.
Okay, fine. They gave like the third part. You ever play, what's the name? Hold on. What was that movie with Jake Gyllenhaal's base? Prince of Persia. You ever played Prince of Persia?
Yes, I've played the entire series.
That's what One Step reminded me of, was a really bad, like a fan-made Prince of Persia.
But that's
live
not a Guy
game.
Ritchie thing.
I know, but the way that it's shot in the upside-downness is, all right, the one thing that is Guy Ritchie is when he's kicked out of the tower, tied to the chair.
And the slow-mo.
And in midair,
yes.
For no reason for 3 seconds.
I will give you that.
Is a ton of slow motion.
10 seconds of Guy Ritchie. It is a studio directed movie, dude. But
listen, the machine was definitely there. However, Guy Ritchie got a few of his Guy Ritchie things in there. And if you watch a Guy Ritchie movie, this has some of the Guy Ritchie stuff. If you come prepared,
this has one 10-second scene of Guy Ritchie in a 2-hour movie. You can't tell me this has got his stamp on it. You can't.
I do.
Because, watch Sherlock Holmes. That is an existing property that has got Guy Ritchie all over it from beginning to end. You can tell his hands were tied. You can tell he was told, hey, you can direct our movie. You just can't be you, buddy. Just don't do you.
Well, then maybe that's a detriment to the film. But the moments that I bumped on of, like, that was a weird choice, or why was that shot this way, or that looks like a weird angle, that to me is Guy Ritchie. Guy Ritchie for me has a lot of pitfalls.
Because it's distinctly Guy Ritchie in a studio-directed film.
Okay.
That's
so,
why it feels
so that's even
weird.
Worse, right? So that's
but that's
worse.
Why it feels weird to you, is in those one or two spots. If you were watching a movie that had Guy Ritchie stamp all over it from the beginning, you could tell it was Guy Ritchie. You would have no problem with those choices because you know you're watching a Guy Ritchie
right,
film.
Okay.
The point I'm making is if his name didn't show up at the beginning, you would have no freaking
no
clue
okay.
that he
well,
directed
then,
this movie.
I guess then maybe that's a problem, that there was no actual direction. It didn't get
no,
a full
yeah,
Guy Ritchie.
I mean, that's definitely part of the problem.
A full Guy Ritchie experience. So you seem to also have problems just with the story, too. So I'm harping on Guy Ritchie as a director. It sounds like you're harping Guy Ritchie as a writer in this movie. Is that right?
Huh? I don't think it's... I mean, I think I just have a problem with the writing in general. I mean, I think I have a problem with how they did not flesh out any of the characters and how they didn't build up certain things. It legit felt like I just got dropped into the middle of something with all sorts of prior knowledge that I'm supposed to have, but I don't have. That's definitely a story-driven problem, and I will give you you're stroking your chin.
I'm thinking,
and you're giving me the skeptical look, and I'm going to give you the very first time I was like, "Wait a second, what?"
Okay,
it's like 15 minutes into the movie because the first time we meet Jasmine in this movie, she's already escaped from the palace and she's right. already in the streets of Agrabah.
Yeah.
And we've missed an entire scene of why she's there and why she feels trapped and why she felt the need to try to learn from the people. You don't get any of that. You get it in exposition in a conversation between her and Aladdin 20 minutes later. But like by then, it's just like I'm already confused. I'm sitting here like, why did I not get this buildup to what this character's about, so that when we're really focused on her motivations to be able to make her own choices and to be Sultan and things like that, it's just like, I don't know why you feel this way. You just told me why you feel this way. I didn't see why you feel this way. I don't see how you feel trapped, with the exception of the fact that you and Aladdin said, hey, I feel kind of trapped.
I understand where you're coming from with that. I don't feel as strongly as that was, oh man, what a missed opportunity. Or, hey, really, guys, where's the storytelling going here? Because they had that scene where they're up in Aladdin's hideout area and they're talking a little bit about their relationship with the city. And she goes, oh my God, from up here. And
but that's my point. You just get told it. It's just told.
I mean, what do you want to see where she's looking down the city going, oh,
I want to see a scene between her and her father where her father is like, no, you can't leave. Because that's what I got in the animated show. And it made you feel so much more for Jasmine. And it made you understand why she just ultimately decided to sneak out and just start to just rebel, because she is just completely sick of being trapped at the palace, yeah, being trapped in this role. It is just one scene of a fight with her father that you could have easily had. It is 5 minutes. And it informs so much about that character.
See, I don't think that took away. I think her telling
it absolutely took away from the movie.
I think her telling us is enough information. We can see that clearly.
I'm telling you right now, but the thing,
because they have several, they have several conversations about looking at the city and watching the people.
Yes,
I think it was after A Whole New World, right? That they actually I learned so much from watching the people in the city and their celebrations. And we get to see her look at those people in Pinefort.
I understand the character's motivations. That makes no sense.
I can completely understand that you would want for that, something like that, to happen earlier, but it happens. So I'm sorry it didn't happen on your timeline, but it still happens.
It has nothing to do with my timeline. By that time, over halfway through the film, I don't care anymore. The story's already started, and I'm supposed to be invested in these characters, and I'm not. And the fact of the matter is, before you open your mouth, the fact of the matter is this. At this point, I'm supposed to see this spark between the two of them because, hey, they're very much the same person. They're just come from different worlds. I'm supposed to get that in the scene in the marketplace, and I don't, because I don't understand either of their motivations or why they feel trapped in their role or why they feel like they need to break out and be freer. And I don't get that. So when they're trying to do this whole love at first sight thing, I don't buy it. There is nothing there to make me think that there's a connection between the two. So by the time we get to A Whole New World, I'm just there. I'm along for the ride because I know this is the way the story should go, not because I'm invested in the characters and I'm invested in their motivations throughout the film. That is a severe disappointment in writing.
See, I don't think I need that. I thought it was all done very well with that conversation after one step. I think they did it. I think they gave you where those characters were in their state of beforehand. I think you got it.
A 5 minute conversation does not make me feel for these characters. And that's the problem. I need to see this stuff.
I can certainly understand your line about the fact, hey, they expect us to just remember the animated? You remember the animated? Okay, cool, because we're doing that. So the scenes that you got it? All right, cool. Like, that they're hoping that
I'll give you another example.
And that's fine. Wait, I give you one that is what they were doing. But they did give you the scene. I'm sorry it was 5 minutes later, but okay. it fulfilled.
I'll give you another example of shitty writing and shitty character development. Are you ready?
Once we're into the movie a bit, I'm with you. I'm disagreeing with you in the beginning.
I'm still closer to the beginning. Oh, I'm going to tell you right now.
Go for it.
Maybe about a third of the way through. Because I think he gets it to the Cave of Wonders about a third of the way through, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But it's everything leading up to then. I have a very big problem with how Aladdin is portrayed in this movie because, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm very shocked. Please tell me more.
Here's my problem. They really, really, for 30 minutes of this movie, it's just he's a really good thief. They focus on the fact that he is a thief. He's good at getting in and out of places. He's mm-hmm. good at escaping bad situations. Mm-hmm. They don't ever focus on the fact that this character is
the altruistic giving the thief.
No.
Go ahead.
He's supposed to be really fucking smart, too.
Right.
This kid is supposed to be a borderline con man. That is shown in the animated scene, in the scene with Jasmine in the market, where mm-hmm. he saves her from getting her hand cut off by just talking his way out of it and outsmarting the guy, right?
Right.
Instead, in this movie...
No, that's what he did!
No, he doesn't! He does sleight of hand!
Say your piece.
He does sleight of hand. He doesn't talk his way out of it. He gives the guy a bracelet, says, hey, will this be enough to pay for it? He says, yeah, you know what? It will. And he does a little sleight of hand, a nice little thievery trickery, and keeps the bracelet and palms it so that he doesn't actually give the bracelet away. And that's why they're on the run. He doesn't fucking outsmart the guy. He doesn't talk himself out of it. He doesn't get to play off how smart he is, so that by the time I get to where he rubs the lamp and needs to outsmart a genie, to get out of the Cave of Wonders without using one of his wishes, I do not buy it.
Wow, you are a nitpicky son of a bitch.
This is one of my favorite Disney movies of all time.
You are just going for the tiniest detail and going, he goes to that merchant and he does smooth talk his way into the situation. Yes, he 100% gives the bracelet as the thing. But he's talking and de-escalating the situation first, and then looks at the bracelet and goes, hey, is this enough to pay for it? But he de-escalates the situation before he does the bracelet.
No, he doesn't.
He does. Yes,
no,
he does.
No, he fucking doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't. You need to see this movie again. No. You are sorely mistaken. In fact, redo, go see the movie again. We're going to re-record this bullshit. You are wrong. You are so wrong.
Situation.
You know why I know you're wrong? Because I'm so, I wrote this shit down. That's how disappointed I was by it.
He de-escalates the situation with that merchant. Yes, not all the way to the resolution to show I'm a fucking brainiac. Yes, he looks and goes, aha, the bracelet will pay it off. I'll do the sleight of hand, which to me also shows smarts as well as it being a good thief, and then gets away. He de-escalates the situation, but not all the way. I will give you the fact that probably in the animated movie, which I remember, but not as well as you do, he probably completely de-escalates the situation and gets away with it. There's no bracelet involved in that tomfoolery.
Well,
but he de-escalates it, and then you see the sleight of hand and all that stuff. So I think you're really digging into the nitpicking details of this movie.
That
and
doesn't
just saying,
show me that he's a con man. That doesn't show me how smart he is. And you're right. In the movie, he just de-escalated it completely.
Okay, so in One Step Closer, when he's trying to escape, right, he does the thing where it looks like that he fell through at the very end of the song and the end of the chase sequence. It looks like he fell through the building next to him across the way, but instead he just goes down to the other one and climbs back on the roof. That's fucking smart. That's really cool. Not only did he just put the guards in the completely wrong direction, but he also just showed, I knew how to get away with it, and I got back up here to where you were. The princess completely thought that he was fucked up.
I said they were very good about...
But that's like two and a half minutes.
They were very good about focusing on the fact that he's good at getting in and out of places. He's good at...
But that's about planning, and that's about being smart. And that's maybe how you outsmart a genie when you outsmart a bunch of guards.
No, that's not.
Oh, wait a minute.
That is not...
True or false? He outsmarted those guards with his plan.
I don't think he had a plan.
God damn it. He looked at that wood or whatever barrels or whatever the hell it was.
He's a parkour kid. He's a parkour thief. That doesn't show that he's smart.
Listen, nerds, this is what I was saying. We have very different opinions on this movie. And this is what I'm saying. That you just can't give me that win. That was him planning.
I don't think he planned any of it. I think he's just good at making a decision on a fly. That's what I got from that scene.
So you've got problems with Aladdin. Okay.
I have problems with all the characters.
And you think making smart decisions on the fly doesn't prove his smartness, doesn't prove his ability to be a critical thinker and be really smart. I got it. Okay. Outsmarting guards does not equal outsmarting a genie. A genie is much smarter. I got it. Okay.
Hey, listen. I'm not saying he's not smart. I'm saying he's not smart in the way that I said he's a borderline con man. That's what I'm missing from this guy.
That's in the cartoon.
Huh?
You're really doing a one-to-one with this cartoon.
No.
The Aladdin in the cartoon was a con man, and they basically showed that to me. And in this movie, they didn't.
But he cons a genie.
And he cons the guards.
He doesn't con the guards. He zigs when he should have zagged.
He doesn't con the guards. He knew that that would look like that he fell through that building and that he is there. And instead, he used the rope to go down to the window beneath him. That is some next level shit.
I think you're projecting your own feelings on that. I think you're reading way too much into that scene because you like the movie and you're trying to justify it.
How? He got up and was like, all right, let's go. He knew that was, and if he can outsmart guards, he can outsmart a genie.
No, he can't. I don't buy for a second that this version of Aladdin can outsmart a genie.
But he did, and then we showed him doing it.
He did, but that's my point. He did because the story demands that he does.
No, because he just did it. He just did it in the last musical number.
Just like him and Jasmine have this connection because the story demands that they do. There is nothing that makes me buy into these characters that makes me believe in these moments.
I can understand that you don't think their relationship between the two of them was fleshed out as well as it could be. I agree with you. I also don't necessarily... I agree that the way they fleshed out Jasmine wasn't very strong. They tried a couple times and they gave her that song... at the end, but it was like way too late. Like it was
she
way
sang
too late.
Like a bar of it at the beginning too.
Yeah, it was
but like
the payoff for that was like at the end of the movie.
But it felt odd. It felt like this does not belong here.
Like, and this is from a different movie. We just took a song from a different movie, right?
Yeah,
I agree.
And I like the song, but it just doesn't, it feels disjointed.
It was too late. It was too late in the movie of the fact of they're trying to go, you know, she's not a Mary Sue and she doesn't need to be rescued. She's strong and independent too.
Get it.
And
fully supported.
And we're not going to put her in that, like, Princess Leia, you know, slave outfit like they did in the animated movie either. And we're going to give her a song about how she's a strong, independent woman. But it felt really weird, and I didn't like the way that they shoehorned that in. So I agree with you that there are problems with Jasmine. We're going to disagree very, very hardly on this Aladdin issue.
I think there are problems with every single character. There's problems with all of them except for Genie. And Genie, I mean, I don't really need a ton of backstory with Genie. All I need is one line. Like,
I don't need a ton of backstory with Genie.
Living space, that's all I need.
That storyline with him and the I'm going to call her the handmaid. I don't know what her
I think they just
is.
Call her the handmaid.
Okay, was very
it was dumb.
I want to get married. I also want two children. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like
she's funny.
Really?
That's but I mean, the like, only reason that, she, hurt. That yes. I was bought into that cuz she is hilarious.
But she's hilarious, but that was a dumb thing.
But you know what? I was trying to hang on to anything I could during this movie because hey, the music was great. The special effects were cool.
Fun. Will Smith was funny.
Will Smith was fun. The actors were wonderful and charming, with the exception of Jafar.
Yes. We're all in agreement with that.
The story was not fleshed out. It was not completely completed. It felt disjointed. I just did not buy into this movie. It was a mess. It was not good.
I don't buy into the conflict. All right. We can agree on one thing, though. The people who were demanding more of Iago are fucking lunatics, right?
I mean,
like he's like, a bird.
Like, I'm not married to Iago having to be like the Gilbert Gottfried talking thing. Like, it would have been fun,
but
I'm not married to the idea of it.
I was okay with it. I appreciated the fact that they stuck to the fact that he is a parrot who is a little smarter and can talk a little bit, and that was it. If the premise was this is the parrot. That's the he even calls him Parrot, never even calls him Iago.
Yeah, my only thing is this. If we're in a fictional world where genies exist, like, you can give me a talking parrot if you want to be true to the source material. There's a flying carpet and a genie. You can't make my parrot talk.
But
it could have been very easy.
But I think then you would have been like, well, how come? Well, so if we have a talking,
I've already thought of that. I've already thought of how you do it.
Okay, give me the Apu, because then you have to justify Apu. So go ahead.
Right. Well, Apu never talked, but I will justify it right now. All right. I already have it. I had it planned out in my head. You want to establish Jafar as this like supreme sorcerer, which you can.
Right.
You just have him use some sorcery voodoo on his parrot, and now all of a sudden he can talk, and it's this wisecracking thing. You do that earlier in the movie, and then you have your talking parrot throughout the movie.
No.
I'm just saying you can do it.
So, no,
a better writer than me could have made that work.
No, you would give fan service for one scene when he has Genie and he gets some of those wishes, and then he makes Iago talk. But I wouldn't wait till the end. You don't do it beforehand.
Here's the part of the charm of Iago. Part of the charm of Iago is not only is he the sounding board for Jafar's evil, insidious plans, but he's also a wisecracking asshole who talks back to Jafar.
Right,
he's just like, this is a stupid idea.
Which he did a few times in the movie. There were a few under your breath comments that Iago threw his direction.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
just a few. Listen, they established the world of, yes, there's a flying carpet and a genie, but all the other animals aren't talking, so we're not letting this one talk. And I appreciated that. If that's what they were going to set up as the rule, they stuck to that rule. and they didn't deviate from it, and I do appreciate that.
Sure, that's fine.
We're disagreeing on Iago. This is insane.
We're not like disagreeing.
Don't feel that way. So I don't feel like I'm not saying we're arguing about it. But we're just disagreeing.
I don't feel like you need to marry yourself to the fact that we're gonna make all animals don't talk because it's this is real. But genies and magic carpets exist. Like I don't think we need to buy into that. It's fucking Aladdin. It's just fun. God, it's stupid. Wow. It's goofy. I don't even need an explanation as to why Iago talks, but I just gave you a completely viable reason why he can talk.
But I don't need him to do that. Iago doesn't need to talk. He gave enough little comments. Because the moments when he did speak and the moments where he did those little snide comments were better. They paid off more.
I'll disagree with you that they were not better.
I can't believe that guy. What a fucking lunatic. Like, I'm glad we didn't get
I will say I didn't miss it at all.
Right.
But I probably would have been bought in more if it just for fun. Like, wow. I would have appreciated the fan service. But hey,
this sounds like what you really wanted. You really wanted Aladdin, the fan service at live action.
Listen, I'm not saying I still would have. I would have liked the movie. I probably would have still remained the same way about the movie, even if Iago talked, because I still would have all these feelings about it. This movie would still be meh.
I
It would have been fun to see Iago talk.
You know what, though? I think we can both agree. Carpet, still fucking carpet.
Carpet's always carpet.
Carpet's always
love carpet.
Point.
Carpet's great. Carpet's
awesome.
Always wonderful.
Yep. Hey, we completely agree on carpet.
We completely agree on the completely mute character carpet. Yes. How did you feel about the Cave of Wonders?
Oh, it was fine. It was exactly kind of what I thought it would be in live action. Oddly enough, I didn't like the end of it with Jafar. I was like, oh. All right. This is unsatisfying, but okay. How can you have a gripe with the Cave of Wonders?
I have a gripe with the Cave of Wonders.
Jesus Christ.
It just...
How can you have a gripe with the Cave of Wonders?
Because, like, in the cartoon, it's just, like, it's so... There's just piles of treasure. It's
oh
so bright.
God.
It's so fantastical.
Stop. I want to adjust your sentence.
This obsession with making everything so hyper-realistic, it just looked like a fucking cave. And, like, it didn't... There was, like random
like
jewels
here and there,
but that's it.
A cave of maybe wonders? Maybe not, like, a cave of... Scrooge McDuck's, you know,
but
bank
that's
vault.
That's the point. The point is you're walking through temptation. You're not supposed
he
to
did.
Touch anything.
There was a lot of temptation.
There was like
Look
freaking. There was like a pearl necklace.
Okay,
like,
let me ask you a question.
That shit.
Does Aladdin have enough bread to feed himself?
That's
does Aladdin
not
have
the
enough
point
to eat?
You know
no,
it.
I'm sorry. Can I ask a question? Does Aladdin have enough to eat?
I mean, he had those bag,
he
that bag of dates that was looked pretty sweet.
A couple dates hold up, but he gets a loaf of bread.
Yes, and how dare he give out dates instead of a loaf of bread to those kids?
I agree. I wanted the loaf of bread because I love animated bread, and I wanted to see a good dude, there was enough. If I walked into that cave, even I'm going. Oh,
it just felt drab. It felt dark. It felt dumb.
There was a shit ton of gold there.
There wasn't
jewels.
A shit ton of gold. That's. Dude, you gotta see this movie again. There was not a shit ton of gold.
But there what? You gotta get the damn animated movie out of your head because you started that sentence with, in the animated movie, it's loaded with gold. There's gold in them hills.
I went in there completely clean, and now I felt meh about it after leaving, and now I'm comparing it to the animated movie. You know why? Because it's so much
that's
better.
All you can
in,
do?
It's in less time. It's
so
much better.
Insane. Here's the problem, Brian. I think you're way too married to the animated series. And listen,
no,
I understand.
I'm not.
My wife is very attached to the animated movie. I mean, this is, I think, number one, and then Little Mermaid's number two, but they're neck and neck. Like, in the hierarchy of what my wife loves, it's Aladdin, Little Mermaid, then my kids, and then me, right? Like, it's in that road, right? She loved it. She loved this movie. She thought it was great. She didn't have any of the problems that you just expressed. And I'm sure later on, when I tell her that you had a problem with Aladdin not being smart enough and not being able to outsmart the genie and the Cave of Wonders didn't have enough gold, you're going to deem that's a little That's a little crazy.
You are boiling it down to the stupidest words possible. That is not what
you
I said.
You said Aladdin wasn't smart enough to outsmart the genie. They didn't show you that he was smart enough.
You are just boiling it down to the most pedantic part of the argument.
The Cave of Wonders didn't have enough gold in it. It wasn't tempting enough. And Jasmine not being shown that she really is locked away and getting out to her means so much more than just coming out and seeing what's going on in the city. Those are your three main gripes. And, you know, we both agree. Everyone agrees Jafar just no good.
Four main gripes.
And then you have a side gripe of, you know, Iago should have talked. I mean, you could have written it in. No, I mean, like, you could have written it in. I mean, like, just try a little harder.
No, I mean, honestly, I didn't. Listen, motherfucker, I didn't give that much thought until you brought it up to me. Like, I did not miss it. I mean, it would have been cool, but I did not. It was not like one of those, like,
you can't give this movie a positive.
No, I can. I loved the cast. The cast was wonderful. They're charming AF. Will Smith rocking the blue updo. I love that.
I gotta be honest. I knew that you and I had different opinions on this movie. I did not think it was this deep. I didn't think we had this big of a gap in between it. So let me ask you a question. Letter grade.
I have a problem with how they handled it. The story was lacking. It just did not make me care.
So listen, here's the deal. I have been using an app recently called Letterboxd that lets you rate movies out of 5 stars. And I don't give movies 5 stars at all. So if you were to rate this film on a 1 to 5 stars, you can use half if you need to. What would you give it?
Well, 2.5 is half, and I felt very meh about this movie, so 2.5.
2.5 stars. I gave it 3.5 stars.
No, that's way too high. That's about 1.5 stars too high.
The average ranking for this movie, by the way, just so you know,
4.
Is 3 stars.
I'm right around there with 2.5.
You just, man.
It was not that great, dude.
But it was. It really was. It was a very enjoyable Aladdin movie. It was the story of Aladdin, and they did it live action. It was really good.
You know what? I'm not the only person who felt this way.
I know you're not.
Forget about the critics and forget about Rotten Tomatoes. I saw this with my fiance, who was extremely excited to see this movie because she loves this movie, too.
Right.
And we got done with it, and I looked at her, and I was like, so what did you think? And she goes, it was okay. I was like, all right, so I'm not alone. She didn't care for it either. It was, and again, my overall review of this movie is I didn't like it, but I also didn't hate it. It's a movie. If I saw it for $10 at Target, I would probably buy it. But eh.
Wow. That hurts. Well, let's do this. You've heard our two opinions. So let's turn around and let's get a second opinion.
Yeah, I found one. I found one. The freaking headline says amazing. And the review reads, the haters are just judging from the trailers, all in caps. And they spelled judging. Actually, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm reading this wrong. It says the haters are jugding from the trailers. This movie has so much heart. It's beautiful, spectacular, and the songs bring back so much nostalgia. The characters are explored in much more depth in this retelling. No. And Naomi Scott does an incredible job as Princess Jasmine. I will agree with that. Will Smith makes the genie his own with hilarious jokes, and his connection to Aladdin is so heartwarming.
True.
Not everyone will come around liking this new Jafar, as there are some scenes where his presence is not as intimidating as the original. However, beautiful movie and one of Disney's best live action remakes. That is so wrong.
All right.
You are wrong.
This one's titled Just Brutal. Let's go for what makes Aladdin a great movie. A menacing Jafar? No. A lighthearted voiced young boy? Maybe. Princess Jasmine that wants to escape the pressure of a forced marriage? Nope. A big problem of this world is that it's created and it's very shallow. She actually wants to be a sultan? A funny, likable, talented star who is playing the role of the genie? Nope. Will Smith, well, he's just playing Will Smith. He even makes those stupid Will Smith sounds. Iago becoming strangely unlikable and talking? Nope, they don't do it. Pretty much a normal parrot. And then we get to this big chase around and nothing happens. At least we have Jafar turn into a massive cobra at the end to use Disney CGI money to great effect. Nope! That was replaced with a big parrot. Summary, pathetic, awful, cash grab. That's true. I kind of forgot that he turns into a gigantic parrot.
No, you mean Jafar turns into a gigantic snake in the animated film.
In the animated one, but in this one, Iago becomes huge.
Just a giant parrot, yeah.
He becomes a giant parrot. I forgot about that. It didn't bother me, but...
I mean, it didn't bother me either. I thought.
But it is weird.
I thought the scene of them running through Agrabah being chased by him was pretty decent, but...
So listen, bottom line, I say see the movie. I say it's good. Go see this movie. I enjoyed it. Check it out. Brian's like, yeah, if it's on HBO or Disney Plus at some point, yeah.
I mean, listen, I'm not gonna plunk down another $10 to $15 to go see this movie. I would not recommend anybody plunk down $10 to $15 to go see this movie.
Wait, anybody? You don't recommend anybody
in the theater? In the theater. Listen, when it comes out on HBO, you should absolutely watch it. It's worth a watch. It's not worth movie theater money.
We are so divided.
Go
on this.
See John Wick 3. Go see Avengers Endgame again. Go see Godzilla. Godzilla was fun. Godzilla was wonderful. All right?
Listeners, this is where we need your help, obviously. As we're divided, I need to hear your opinions on this movie. So go ahead and sound off in the comments. Thank you, guys, so much for your support for the show. It obviously means everything to us. Sorry that this episode was a little late, but also it was at the end of the month, so we get ourselves a little slack. Thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Well, welcome to the club, because you are that kind of nerd.